This is Billy Alexander from Pinfall Wrestling Association, and you're listening to What's on Fight on the Trending Topics Network.
Welcome, fight fans, to What's on Fight, the podcast that watches random combat sports provided by the Fight TV app. And bring them all back to you in this podcast format. I am Finn Fish, and I have a co-host. He is Mr. 4408. What's up, man?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic over here. But, last week, went to that big-time FSW show when Stars Collide. It was pretty good. We weren't able to get a meet and greet. But, you know, it was, we didn't need to. It was pretty cool anyway. Funny enough, the biggest star on the show was none other than Matt Hardy, you know. But when you walked into the door, the person you see first is none other than Johnny Mundo. And he was pretty cool because my friend is good friends. Like, one of his best friends is Maven. And he said, hey, Johnny, you know, I'm good friends with Maven and blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, really? And then, you know, so Johnny Mundo knew who he was through Maven. And, but in the corner was none other than Matt Hardy sitting all alone, which is, it's like, there's people at his table. It's just funny. Whenever you walk into Sam's Town Live, the first person you see is Johnny Mundo, and he's not even the main, you know, the main starter advertising. The Reno Scum were there. Don't care for the Reno Scum. Being from Las Vegas, I don't care for Reno. Sammy Callahan showed up. There's people out there selling t-shirts and stuff. Davey Boy Smith was out there selling his merch. And my friend's like, who's that guy? I'm like, that's Davey Boy. But I go, look at Davey Boy. Doesn't he look like a dork? And like, we're ordering beer, and like, he turns around, like, who's that guy sitting there? I was like, that's that dork I was just talking about. He's like, oh yeah, he does look like a dork. So, I mean, just the way he had blonde hair, he looked like a baby. He has a baby face. He has no facial hair. He looked like a dork to me. But it was a good event. Oh man, we had a blast. We sat third row, so you know, we didn't steal your gimmick. We didn't sit fourth row. But, we sat third row. Some great matches. Disco Inferno he had a confrontation with Matt Hardy, whose son Maxwell beat him last year. But the match of the night was Keith Lee versus Brian Cage and versus Sammy Callahan in a three-way match. And it was funny because Melissa Santos, the announcer for Lucha Underground, was the announcer, announced all the matches. And when she announced Brian Cage, she's like, oh, Brian Cage, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, and I scream out, fuck you, Melissa. And my friend's like, what? It's like, she didn't do it. Fuck her. Do it. You got to do it. And then finally she hit it. She hit that where I wanted her to say, from the 559, they call Brian Cage. My favorite part is when she says from the 559. She eventually, it took her a minute to say it, but, you know, I was cussing her out for not saying it at first. Because she usually starts off, his opponent from the 559. She's like, his opponent, he's a blah, 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 blah. I'm like, come on, man, fuck you. Get to the... But a lot of good matches at the end of the night. I don't know if I mentioned this. Even though I know I 100% mentioned this on Loot Chat, that the FSW longest reigning champion, Kevin Cross, cut a promo on every promotion except for one promotion. The promotion he actually signed with, and it was Lucha Underground, and he put his Lucha Underground shirt on. So, and then the Twitter beef between, I don't know if they're going to edit it, but the Twitter beef between Johnny Mundo and Kevin Cross ended when Johnny Mundo brought his dog out to shake hands with, because he said Kevin Cross said he's going to eat his dog.
Oh jeez!
So he brought his dog out to bury the animosity and stuff. But it was a really good event. I the best event that has FSW has ever held. Got all the big stars. It is funny because at the beginning of the show, they saw all their stars. Like, this is when stars, you know, their stars are in the sky. But and then this is what happened when they collide. I'm like, none of these guys are going to be on this show. It only like two of the guys in that picture were on their show. And I don't know. I'm a big Willie Mack fan, and but this guy's over. Like, I don't know how he is just over. It amazes me how over Willie Mack is sometimes. But that's, I don't want to spoil it too much. You can watch it here on Fight very soon, March 22nd. It's only $9.99. You can use your little credits to get that. You know, because you get $20 credits, so you don't won't go over. You got to pay for it. So you're able to watch Stars Collide, where I think on the poster, the only two people I didn't see there or in a match was Angelina Love and Davey Richards. The only good part of Red Dragon. But everyone else on there, even Talia, who looks bigger in life, in real life, which is good, it's everyone else is there. But how did your week go?
Very cool. Just a quick correction. It's March 26th is when that's on.
What did I say? April?
The 22nd.
Oh, jeez. What the hell? Time travel. I think I got it early. I got early access, maybe.
Well,
yeah, it's March 26th.
I mean, when you were there in person, it kind of blurs. That's kind of what happens with me with Rocky Mountain Pro. It's like, since I record them and play them later, it's like, oh, yeah, so... my week was okay. It was just kind of a normal week. Work, volleyball, training for my 50K. No wrestling, actually, that I attended this past week. It was one of those odd weeks that there was nothing going on. But this upcoming Friday, Saturday, we have I'm going to be attending the Rocky Mountain Pro live event at the Rack House in lower downtown Denver. And then I'm going to go to take a little bit of a road trip with a friend of the podcast, Rocky Mountain High. We're going to go down to Colorado Springs, Colorado, which is about hour 15 minutes south of Denver. And we're going to check out a fairly new promotion started last year, Colorado Springs Wrestling, which a lot of the wrestlers from Rocky Mountain Pro and Primos Wrestling wrestle in. So we're going to go check them out for the first time. So that should be pretty fun.
Well, that's good. And last week, I was listening to a podcast on the brand new Trending Topics Network. And he was also an emailer onto the show, known as Mr. Old School. And he was talking about his creative genius on his pod, on the WrestleCast, and his group that he made, the Rougeau World Order. I'm the most creative person on this whole entire network. And I think my group is better than your group. And it was the FBI. And not the full-blooded Italians. Not Federal Bureau of Investigation. It was the food and beverage industry. Yes, in Las Vegas, there is, a, you know, in every state. But in Las Vegas, the food and beverage industry is huge. And obviously, my character was... the fish. I had my tag team partner and my bodyguard. He was Chips. And we had a valet who was Salsa Dip. So Fish, Chips, and Salsa Dip. And I made thousands of characters. So I think my team of the FBI is better than the Rougeau World Order. But that's just, you know, a little creative... competitive between, you know, the most creative caller and the guy who wants to be the most creative caller.
Ooh.
But if we're done with all that, we can get into our review of this episode that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Chaotic Wrestling Classics episode number 1, Fury's Final Fights.
We had to add half those names in there. it's I don't know what it is. Chaotic Classics.
Right.
But I was like, what? But, and they didn't have episode 1. We had that. But it's all good. Actually, this first match is awesome. And this is in a, like you're saying, this is Brian Fury's farewell tour. And so all night there's going to be only Brian Fury matches on his way. I don't know if he was retiring. I don't know. But he's leaving Chaotic Wrestling?
Well, yeah, it's hard to say. It wasn't really clear. They did mention a few times that he does run a wrestling school in the, I believe, the New Hampshire area.
Yes.
Which a lot of famous people, people that you would know that have made it to the big brands, have come through. So
yeah, and one of the guys that he mentioned, it came out to me because he was in Paragon Pro Wrestling. It was Anthony Green. This dude is so awesome. He comes out to MC Hammer's music, and his catchphrase is "It's all good." Like, he'll do a maneuver, and then like the guy's like huge. And like, he'll back off like, "Man, it's all good." He gives it a thumbs up. So he's fastly becoming one of my favorite characters in Paragon Pro Wrestling if they ever come back. But yeah, he was an internet geek. He always had his little segments carrying around his camera. And every time something went wrong, he was like, "Man, it's all good." But yeah, I heard him saying he trained him as well. But our first match was out in the baseball stadium. This is the first time we covered a match at a baseball stadium.
Yeah. And I had to look it up. They mentioned it, and then I had to look up more information because I'm a big baseball fan, and I almost love going to the minor league stadiums more because they have to try harder to get crowds to come and things of that nature. So this was at the Lowell Spinner Stadium, which is the short season single A affiliate of the Boston Red Sox. So I just had to look it up. So there's my little informative thing for you guys out there.
Yeah. And then when we start this match, they announce it as the main event of the night. It's like, okay.
Wait a minute. We just started. Yeah.
We just started. They mentioned all the wrestling that happened earlier, but this is all about the Firebrand, Brian. I like that. That's a cool name. The Firebrand, right. Brian. But his opponent is the grandson of a plumber, or the son of the plumber, if you will. The star that left them in the dust, none other than Cody Rhodes. And am I a big fan of Cody Rhodes?
Yeah. And the announced team had mentioned that Cody Rhodes had wanted to wrestle Fury for quite a while. So when he had left his previous employer, they did not pull any punches. They said WWE that this is what he wanted to do. He wanted to take on Fury in a match. So he got his wish.
Yeah. And I put in the notes. And here we go. I'm going to go on a diatribe about Cody Rhodes. I actually seen Cody Rhodes live at a Freak Show Wrestling in downtown Las Vegas. And I think he did what he wanted to do. He left. You know, he asked for his release. But people are like, he should have stayed. He's making money. You know, that money does not make you happy. I mean, you know, he's killing himself for more, you know, less money. But I feel he's been doing this all of his life. That's where he started off, you know. That's where his name is from. That's where it's going on in his life. I mean, I don't know him personally, but that's how I feel. Being a, you know, in the construction business, you get sick of a particular job. You get sick of going to that job. Are these people paying us good money to build these places? Yes. But at the same time, you're like, fuck this. I don't want to show up at this time, at that time. I'll just go leave. And, you know, pretty much you take a break from your job. And now he's on his own schedule, doing his own thing. I know he's doing a lot of crazy moves out there. He needs to stop that. He's doing some moonsaults off cages. he needs to slow that one down. But he got, you know, he has a beautiful wife. He has a good, stable home. He got what he wanted. Now he just wants more time to do what he wants to do. So you can't fault the man for leaving the company to do what he desires. So I don't like the dislike of Cody Rhodes and the fact that he asked for his release when he should have sat in the back and collected a paycheck. Some people don't want to do that. And, you know, with his name, you know, he knows, or he has a good feeling that WWE will be bringing him back. But to me, it's just let the man do what he's going to do. If he's still wrestling, if he's, as long as he didn't leave to go sell shoes, he's still doing what he wants to do. And I imagine he saved his money and all that good stuff. So, you know, now he'll come back and he'll be an even bigger name than he was before.
Right.
I feel.
And I thought that I had remember them. There was possible news reports that he was going, they were even talking about letting him go ahead and leave, but then still try to sell. They were getting ready to create some merch for him, some merchandise for him, and they wanted to really push it even though he was gone. So that's how much, you know, they were, they, I guess they just really didn't want him to go. But, you know, he was unhappy with his creative direction, and, you know, kudos to him for seeing that. I personally, so.
Yeah, I hear a lot of stories about people just hiding backstage just to collect it. That's okay, too. You do you. But don't, you know, you can't get mad when someone says, you know what, I'm done here. I want to go and be free and wrestle in New Japan, TNA, ROH, PWG. And, you know, let me get this before I'm too old. Let me say I have done this, you know.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, even the biggest businessman want to climb a mountain, you know. Like, let me go climb a mountain real quick. You know, there's still that adventure that's inside of people to want to always do something different. Even though he has a good job. You know, before he gets way too old. But that's just my little diatribe on Cody Rhodes. Because I think a lot of other stars should have done this. And people already know who I'm going to pick. And it's Dolph Ziggler. Mm-hmm. But if Dolph Ziggler would have did the same thing Cody Rhodes would do, Dolph Ziggler would be a bigger star. So, I feel. I mean, who knows. But you got to leave. You don't have to leave. But I think it's better for you if you did leave. Or did something else outside. If you're just there, kicking back, like the Big Show does movies. He leaves and does his thing, but when you're just there all the time, you're just collecting a paycheck and you're just getting dumped on. It's like, try something else. Maybe this might help you. Maybe it might ruin your career. But if you don't try, you'll never know. So,
yeah, exactly.
But for a baseball stadium, this had great sound, a great look. Even though those little bratty kids were in the way and it kept telling the kids to move. But other than that, I like the way it looked. I don't like the baseball feel, how the baseball stadium feel, but the look of the camera work was great. Great cut scenes, great looking ring. It's just the crowd. I don't like how that looks. They're so far away.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. I was like, we saw a couple of people in the first level seats that were way back, and it's like, did you guys pick to choose there because of price? And if so, man, you guys are way back, and can't security like let you guys go ahead and fill in a little bit? So you're, because, you know, if this was the main event of the match of the night, then, you know, nobody else is going to be coming. So
maybe they come clean out the outfield or put the tarp on. But
yeah.
Yeah, but the funny enough, I was thinking the commentators would be low. Everyone had good sound.
Yeah,
I think this had to be some post production work because this was great. This is great sound. But I like the little kid. They're like, "Hey, get out of the way!"
Yeah, even heard that because they were trying to get that hard shot, the hard lockdown shot of the ring, and the kids were in the way of it, so they just wanted to shoo him off a little bit.
Okay, look it. Get off my lawn. But a great technical match. Great back and forth. They say these guys have never wrestled before. And then how, you know, Cody Rhodes, we all know, grew up in the industry, and how Bryan Fury has been training a lot of people. So he, you know, seen it all and knows it all. And Cody Rhodes hits one of those crazy-ass moonsaults. But inside the ring, not off the top of a cage. But Brian Cage has his, funny, he's from New Hampshire, but he has a Boston crab. But it's called the Branding Iron, which that's pretty cool. Pretty cool name. He's a firebrand, the Branding Iron. But Cody Rhodes eventually gets out of that. I like this ending sequence. This is pretty good. Cody Rhodes hits a hits a big time. One of the disaster kicks right on the nose. Firebrand don't go down. Cody Rhodes slaps on the crossroads. Hits it. 1, 2, 3, your winner, Cody Rhodes. Like I said, this is a great match. If they would have showed all the matches from here, I'd have been happy, but they couldn't. I want to watch this event. I wonder where I could watch this whole entire event, because with this being the main event, it should have been a good... They're mentioning about the undercard, about a battle royal and all this other stuff, so I want to check out this event itself.
Yeah, so, yeah, what after watching this episode, not to go too far into this episode, but what it looked like is that Chaotic Wrestling filmed their events and then maybe then puts like a best of reel together like this, kind of theme some stuff together, and that's why they have these Chaotic Classic episodes on Fight TV. So I kind of like that. It's kind of different, you know, kind of theming. So, you know, in this case with Fury's final fight. So
Fury final fight. And in their second match of the night, a different episode in a different location, is Brian Fury versus what is it? JT Dunn, Juicy. They call him Juicy JT Dunn. I once they mentioned him, I knew who he was, but I'd never seen him before.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was Juicy. I think it was Juice, as in Massachusetts.
Oh, Juicy.
Yeah, so they were calling him Juice.
Oh.
Choose, 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 what they would be yelling. So,
oh,
I guess whatever works.
I don't know. That's I don't know. This is nickname. That sounds like a bad name if it's Choose.
you know, both you and I live in the western part of the United States. So, I don't know about you, but personally, sometimes I just don't understand the East Coast people of the United States. So it is what it is.
And this is another match on the Brian Fury's farewell tour, but there's no mention of it. So this was taped. I believe this is taped out of order, or not taped, but this is before they started the farewell tour or the idea, because there's no mention of him leaving or any of the no talks of the farewell tour or him retiring or whatever he's going to do. This is just one of his matches that were in this. Before, it felt like it was way before the Cody Rhodes match.
Right. So yeah, like when they decided to finally compile this, they were like, we could put two matches together, which would be kind of weird, but maybe if we put three, it might be better to maybe get that hour length episode.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
They should have maybe did an interview with him. If this is his episode, they could have cut this and did him talking like, you know, I did the, you know.
You know, and they could have even done it like how New Japan Pro Wrestling does the interviews, like before and after the matches, when they do like the look back at the matches.
Yeah,
they could have even easily done that too.
Yeah, so because this match, I was falling asleep. So I had no interest in this one.
Yeah, so little off topic thing we're gonna do. So. If you're, I know this person says they don't listen, but if you are listening, there, I do watch New Japan Pro Wrestling, so I'm calling somebody out.
Uh-oh. They're calling a lot of people out shoes.
Yeah.
But this...
He claims he doesn't listen, so whatever.
This is held in a Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
I do like when they announce where they're from and where they're at and what they're in. So we're not saying, hey, they're in an abandoned warehouse. Nope, this is Elk Lodge. But I don't know why. This match wasn't, because once they announced it wasn't part of Brian Fury's stuff, I wasn't interested in this match. And Brian Fury had a guy with him. I don't know his name.
I forget his name. Yeah, I forgot to write it down. But yeah, he shoot him away.
Yeah,
I got this.
I got this, son. And yeah, he got it all right. it was some good trained wrestling, but I didn't know much about the Juice JT Dunn. I guess they say he was teaming with Chris Hero, known as Cassius Ohno, and they are Death by Elbow. So they're tag team big. So I'm like, I still don't know this guy, but that's all right. Yeah. That's what we're here for, learn about new wrestlers from around the world. But the Firebrand, you know, is just good. I mean, watching both of these matches, I see why he's a good trainer. Looks like a, you know, good wrestler and all that stuff. But this didn't fare too well for the Firebrand.
No, it did not. But some of the high points for me was that Dunn had a series of three kicks that were back to back to back that looked really good. That he hit Fury with them.
Those pump handle kicks, yes.
Those are great. Yeah.
And Fury hit all of his special moves. He has a pop up power bomb. He has a super kick. What is it? I forget what it's called. It's not the last. It's the sober super kick or.
Yeah, something like that. I forget what it was. So
I guess he's a straight edge guy, or he gotten sober. I don't know. He didn't mention it, but they said the last call it was sober up super kick or something to that effect.
Right.
But eventually, JT Dunn hits a death by elbow, which is a roaring elbow, same as Cassius Ohno or Chris Hero hits, and then picks up the win. So. Yeah, for a guy on his farewell tour, they could have gave him a match.
Yeah, he's 0-2. It's looking like he may pick up the golden sombrero. Baseball reference for people out there. At least to me, it is.
No.
when you go 0-3 in a game, there's been some color commentators of teams that I watched that called the 0-3 the golden sombrero. So.
But like I said, they could have had this guy speak, give us an interview, talk about a little bit more about his career, or, you know, so we could know. We only knew about him through the commentary, which was great.
Yeah.
This venue looked great. Good sound. Everything was good. Good music. Man, their production team was hard at work. It was good. And in our third and main event, this was another main event. The Firebrand, Brian Fury versus Die Hard Eddie Edwards, the TNA champ at that time, Eddie Edwards. So, once again, no mention of Fury's final fight. So they did it backwards?
No, they did mention on this one.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, they do mention. I thought they did, but okay.
Yeah, they did on this one.
So, but how do you feel about Eddie Edwards? Die Hard. Oh, dude, that's not a good name. how you feel about him carrying that TNA at this time, or TNA World Heavyweight Title?
I thought it was it was okay. Eddie Edwards, like I mentioned before, he is one of the people that have gone through Fury's wrestling school, so they know each other very, very, very well. I thought it was okay. You know, it was kind of before, though, TNA should have done what they were doing with, for example, the Hardys, where they were going to other promotions with the belts, and you get over your home promotion, you know, the big promotion at the time, TNA, now Impact, and you help spotlight, you know, the independent scene or the free market scene as well. So I thought, you know, whoever was in charge of it this now could have done that before, or somebody would have saw that. It's kind of a little bit of a missed opportunity in a way, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I get that. And speaking of, you know, let's just jump right to TNA. How do you feel about this, them holding the Hardy's name and the broken Hardy gimmick?
Well, you know, it's going to come out to whatever the contract was. I personally think if the Hardys came up with it, It's theirs. It's all about what do they call that? Creative. It's all about intellectual property rights. That's what I was looking for. So it's whoever owns that, you know. And if the Hardys don't get it personally, Matt and Jeff are pretty creative guys. They're gonna come up with something as good, if not better, than the broken theme. So that's just the way I look at it. You know, Impact right now, personally, I think, you know, it's, I think it's definitely gotten better over the last two episodes, but it is still looks a little bit of a, like a train wreck, but it's one of those train wrecks you have a hard time looking away from.
Not me. I looked away and I ran away. But I feel if this was the WWE, this wouldn't be a discussion. You know what I mean? This wouldn't even be a topic. I mean, it comes down to contract, but if you think at other companies, I mean, a lot of people listen, you know, watch WWE, so they know how WWE does with this. But someone like AAA, who didn't let Pentagon and Phoenix take their names and make them change their names, AAA is going as far as even taking your name after you create a new name. So, and they haven't even used the name before. I think that's pretty messed up, but with the matter, TNA just let them have it, let them own it. That's, you know, I mean, like you said, it comes down to the contract. But to me, if this is WWE, they wouldn't even, no one would bat an eye. Like, oh, that's how they work. So TNA is trying to establish that, you know, this is how we work. It's a messed up move, and they should just let their, you know, but they you know, they put their feet in the sand in this one, and they want to. And if you're going to fight, you know, they're ready to fight. So it's like, usually they, you know, hey, go ahead, do what you want. It's just WWE people like, you knew that was going to happen. And AAA, it's same thing. A lot of people leave, even like Sexy Star, she couldn't take her name. She had to be called something else. Pentagon, like I said, Phoenix had to be called something else. Garza Jr., who's from TNA, isn't TNA now, was in AAA. But Garza Jr. was able to keep his name. And so is Daga, but Daga has not shown up anywhere else yet. So, because Garza Jr. is, because Hector Garza Jr., but Garza Jr. is not his name. It's, you know, like the wrestling, like the Rhodes. It's like that.
Right. Yeah. And then, you know, I guess it kind of depends on what the promotion wants to do, what do they think is best for business for them. For example, when we had Royce Isaacs on the show interviewing him, that he was talking about how he is now also wrestling for NWL, Kansas City. And he isn't using, he can't use Royce Isaacs there because they have a, it's not necessarily non-compete, but it's more of, we want our characters to be unique to us. So he wrestles in NWL as Scott Slade, and he's kind of got a, if any of you haven't watched or not yet, but he's kind of got a James Bond-esque kind of character, kind of a suave, kind of cool, you know, cool. So it's kind of cool seeing Royce with a little bit of a different gimmick. However, you know, I guess it could work for you if you're that good of a talent. But then it also, the name recognition, is it better to have it one way or another? It's kind of hard to tell. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, they work something out. But TNA wants that money. I'm like, you ain't getting no money out. You ain't making no money off me. I don't need to be broken that bad for you to get a percentage of me. I'll come up with something else.
Yeah.
And I was always a Hardy boy, so I can go, you know, I could be a Hardy man. I don't fucking know. But okay, let's dive back into this main event of this show. This got me back into it because seeing Eddie Edwards, I like Eddie Edwards. He has a sort of a goofy look to him. He looks young. He has a baby face. You know, he's cutting a promo. I like his moves. I like the Boston Knee Party. I think that's a cool name for a move. You know, he's from that area, you know, why not? But he said, speaking of, you know, Mexico, mariachi throws something into the ring.
Maraca. A maraca, you know, the rattle. Got the crowd started chanting it, and then somebody, a fan, throws it into the ring. Edwards catches it. And then he decides not to use it. He decided not to use the Mexican foreign object, as the commentators announced. So that was pretty. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. But yeah, and you know, Brian Fury, you know, goes through his stuff again. You know what? Earlier, I knew this was taped out of order. Earlier, when Brian Fury hit his pop up sit out power bomb, they don't say it like that. And the kid kicked JT Dillon kicked out. I'm like, that's the first person I ever kicked out. I'm like, did I just see Cody Rhodes kick out of that move like five times? So that's new. That's 100% knew it was taped out of order. It's like, right. Did we just see this motherfucker kick out? But and then Brian Fury locks on the branding iron. Still cool name. I like that name. You know, Eddie Edwards gets out. The way they get out is kind of goofy. I'm not feeling that at all. I don't like that. How they roll, you know, tip them over and roll. They don't reach the ropes. They tip them over. It's like, nah, not every time. I mean, we watched three different matches with him in it. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can't roll. I understand rolling them over, but you should have to reach the ropes in that scenario, not being able to flip the guy over. Eventually, you know, Eddie Edwards rolls out of it. Edwards, this is a half, you know, half branding arm. No, hit half Boston, a one-legged Boston crab, a half Boston crab.
Yeah, half Boston crab. I think that's what that's referred to.
Yeah. I think one-legged sounds right. Well, I guess it's two legged. Whatever. Half, one-legged, it's all the same. But this time, you know, Brian Fury hits a big time pop up powerbomb, and he switches it into the branding arm, and you know, and then finally, one out of three ain't bad, I guess. He picks up the submission victory over Eddie Edwards, which is
goes out on top.
Yeah, beat the TNA champ. Jeez, that's a hard feat to do, you know. They could have mixed this up. Just take out that middle match, him going against the biggest stars and interviewing him. But how did you feel about, you know, Chaotic Wrestling Classics episode one?
Yeah, I liked the idea of them putting together a themed episode of matches that feature one wrestler. So I do like that. Everything looked good and sounded good for the most part, so I liked it. It was, like I said, I would love to have an interview at the end of the episode, just him talking about his career, some of his highlights of his career, his matches, things of that nature, just to kind of put that little final polish on it and yeah. Things of that nature. So yeah, it was different. So it's hard for me. It's kind of hard to say how I feel about it collectively. I'd like to watch. I wish we would have watched maybe if they have any regular episodes on here that has like one of their whole events. Like I'd like to see this baseball stadium episode.
Yeah, that looks good.
And see the whole thing as the whole piece or whole work. So to see what that's like, and then when they cut out the match for these classics collection, to see what it is. So Fury he's very sound, very good wrestler. I mean, you got to be if you're running a wrestling school.
Well, you should be.
you should be. You don't have to necessarily be the best, but you got to be. You got to be solid. You got to be able to explain. You got to be able to know what will work with your students' attributes and their skill set and what you think they can do and what kind of works for them. So So he can definitely wrestle all kinds of styles. So I mean, he wrestled a technical technician like Cody Rhodes and Eddie Edwards, and then he wrestled JT Dunn, who kind of had more like he's kind of more active, more kind of a more
striker
and stuff, yeah. Things like that.
Exactly. A lot of punches and yeah. A lot of kicks.
Exactly. So yeah. So I mean, I liked it. You know, I wasn't extremely entertained, but I wasn't disappointed either. So if we had to go to the scale, I'm probably going to give him just a I'm probably going to give him just like a, just like, I'm going to give him maybe a six.
Yeah.
I mean, it was okay.
Yeah, like I said, I'm going with the same. I'm going to go with six, and my explanation is good matches. They selected great matches. I need to know more. If this is Farewell Tour, I need to know a little bit more about him. The commentators did a great job, but I can need, where's he from? Where'd he grow up? Where did he wrestle for? You know, him just sitting down.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is it for me. You know, him telling us his story. And then maybe when, you know, we don't know when his last match was, but the crowd coming out and, you know, the guys in the locker room embracing him after the Eddie Edwards match. Something where, you know, this is it for him. It seemed like he fell well for what? You know, he's retired. You know, we don't know what is next for him. And he could have said, you know, I'm moving to the commentary. I'm doing something, you know, I'm going to finally be able to work on my schooling. At least a little bit more information from him himself. But you want me to look up him even more right now? It's like, okay, the guy's gone. He'll probably be back. That's the feeling I got. Because he looked like he's still gone. I don't know what his problem was.
Right.
You know, he's sick or, you know.
Yeah, and some questions are still are out there for me. And it was like, did they know that he was in his final fights? And if so, could they have go ahead and just done their events like they did and maybe just added a whole bunch of wrestling matches to this and just did like quick highlights,
yeah.
You know, of like, say, maybe 6 to 8 matches and, you know, just cut them down to like the most important parts, put on that interview, like I said before, and make this more of a little bit more of a tribute, you know, thank you for all your work and your devotion to chaotic wrestling.
Yeah, they said he won titles. He won every title there. So I'm like, well, you're telling me this, but let me see. Let me see him winning. But great. But everything else was good. The story wasn't that good, but oh my gosh, the commentators were great.
Yep.
Noise level great. The venue, each venue looked good. Every ring looked great. So you know they got it on that end. They're you know. The technical side of stuff. They got it down, Pat.
Right.
But let's see. I know you're gonna like this one, but what do you know we're going to watch next here on What's on Fight?
Our next episode, I'm very excited for. That's gonna be RMP, Rocky Mountain Pro, one of my home promotions here in Denver, Colorado. We are watching episode number 1 and episode number 2. Like I said last week, episode 1 is a intro episode, a very easy watch, tells the history of their previous name promotion, which was NRW, to why the change of to RMP, and then their first episode under the RMP umbrella, which with the Charge show. So we're watching those two. So if you guys are watching along, hit us up with your thoughts, things of that nature. Tweet us, email us. You can email us now. We have a new email address if you want to email us. It's very easy to remember. It's podcast@whatsonfight.com.
Yes, definitely. We're moving up. We're getting the train rolling here. And from the start, I think we wanted to do a show from Colorado. We started the first episode. We started with Paragon Pro Wrestling from my hometown, and we're looking for a show from your hometown, and it's finally popped up, and you finally get what you had wanted. But yeah, we're a lot of companies out there, believe it or not, follow us, like us, they retweet us, they talk about us, they tag us, even though we're not nowhere near. And it's like, wow, you know. So as they're making us step our game up. So, you know, we're adding this and adding that and adding more. So, look out. A lot of things are coming our way here on What's on Fight, because these companies want us to review their shows.
Right. And yeah, we thank you for tweeting us, tagging us, things of that nature, because it's very nice. And then, you know, we'll call you out too, that we're reviewing you. So
yeah.
Just to give you a heads up. So, if you guys are listening to your review from your promotion, thank you for listening.
Yeah, last week we had some questions, you know, during the podcast, and then she's blanking on the company right now. they tweeted us some of their stuff, how the ring looked, and, you know, because like, it looks a little smoky. And they showed us some pictures, and they answered a few of our questions on Twitter. And I'm like, that is awesome.
Yes, exactly.
So that was very cool. But there are other ways to reach us as well. We have a big time fight line. You can dial up, you know, talk about all these independent shows with us, these voicemails, emails, you know, whatever you want. You just dial the number. It is 702-907-3483. 702-907-FIGHT, F-I-T-E. And, you know, leave us a voicemail, how you feel about, you know, these shows and whatever else, yeah, you want to do. But if you want to listen to other great, fantastic podcasts here on the brand new Trending Topics Network, you can listen to, soon to be coming back, none other than Lou Chat, the podcast that chats all about Lucha Underground. And now that it's on Netflix, if you need, you know, hey, what the hell is this about and that about? I am the Lou Chat expert, because I am Lou Chat. I host the show. So.
Well, and speaking of Lou Chat, one of the other podcasts found here on the brand new Trending Topics Network, the Spanish Announce Table had mentioned that they were coming to Netflix, and one of their hosts, T-Mac, was mentioning he was getting ready to watch it because he hasn't have access to it before. So he's getting some snacks and everything like that. And I had told him that little product placement foreshadowing, get out, get your bagel bites ready because you're going to want those too.
Are they going to show those on Netflix?
I don't know. I don't know how much they're going to edit, but I honestly, when that happened in the show,
yes,
I actually marked, because that segment was so cool. And then when they marked out, when they nice. Put the bagel bites in there, I actually kind of marked out. So I thought that was pretty cool because it worked really well.
You and your little friend with some bagel bites? Yeah, ma. Son of Havoc and Mascarita Sagrada sitting in the basement and devising a plan to take out Dr. Wagner Jr. and Famous B.
Famous B, yeah.
And then Son of Havoc's mom steps in and goes, hey, you guys want some bagel bites? Yes, I remember that, like, the back of my hand, because I watch Lucha Underground and also talk about, I have a podcast that chats all about it. So
exactly. So yeah. And just like, so other shows, like I said, just said, the Spanish Announce Table, the podcast that slams your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge, definitely give them a listen as well. Other great shows that we have, more wrestling shows, the European Uppercut podcast, guys from Europe. I was a guest, host on there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and we had a WrestleCast, the podcast that has a serious discussion about the non-serious world of professional wrestling. And Mr. Old School, don't forget, you know, we're going to take the Rougeau World Order versus the FBI, the food and beverage industry, and see what we come up with on there. Some new episodes of Hanging with Heavy are coming soon or already out. Not sure, but it's okay. But we also have non-wrestling shows, but still sports shows. NFL Easy Picks. I know it's basketball season, March Madness, but, you know, hurry up and get your picks in. This is the time you make your money. You know, draft is coming up. You know, people are being traded, so check out NFL Easy Picks to, you know, learn a little more about what's going on in the world of professional football. I want to say professional wrestling. Professional football. CFL Easy Picks. We got I got to scroll down here. Scrabble Box. Legends on Siren FM. Eurovision Showcase. The Tuts Experience. All beer inside. I still want to say all beers. STFU and Soul, much, and more. So check out all those shows. You can check me out on Twitter. I am FinFishSCU on Twitter. I have a Gmail. You can send me questions for you know, this show, What's on Fight, and Lou Chat, and that is finfishscu@gmail.com. Where can we find you, Mr. Fourth Row?
On your Twitter machine, you can find me at Mr. Fourth Row. Spell out the Mr., put a 4th there in the middle, end it with row, and the same goes for Gmail as well, so at gmail.com as well.
That's very cool, and it seems, hopefully, I am completely done fighting with Chaotic Wrestling Classics Episode 1, Fury's Final Fights. How about you?
I am as well. So that's all we have to fight about this week. So until next time, fight on.
All right.
Messengers of joy. There were angels all around.